morning, everyone. My name is Ashley Tomey. I'm a member of the Confederate Tribes of Grand Ronde from Oregon. So I thank you for this opportunity to come and talk to you guys today. This project was my applied research project from my doctorate in health sciences program at A.T. Still University. So I'm really glad to share this with you guys today. So I would like to acknowledge my professors and also Delight Satter, who were my external members and members of my committee, and the Urban Indian Health Centers that helped advertise this survey. So looking at dental fear, dental anxiety, and dental phobia are all terms that are used pretty interchangeably throughout literature. There are categories of dental fear in patients, so that includes conditioned fear of specific stimuli from their visit, also anxiety about different reactions that they might have during that treatment. There's also trait anxiety or multiphobic symptoms, so if they have other anxiety issues that can help increase the anxiety when during their dental visit. There's also a huge problem with the distrust of dental providers, which is a pretty big issue, especially in Indian country with providers that are constantly changing. So as far as the background and rationale, the American Indian Alaska Native population suffers from major health disparities in oral health care access. In 2010, the data showed that only 17.6% of American Indian Alaska Natives had visited the dentist more than 5 years ago. So that's a pretty significant population that's not getting their, you know, yearly or twice a year visits to the dentist. The Healthy People 2020 goal was that over 49% of people over the age of 2 received dental care at least once per year. The Indian Health Services goal in 2011 was 23%. So we already know by that goal being set lower that we're obviously at a much lower level of expectation and meeting that goal. We also know that dental anxiety can prevent individuals from visiting the dentist or delaying care. We also know that dental anxiety has physiological, cognitive, behavioral, health, and social effects. It's not just about the teeth. Studies have shown that your dental anxiety, if you're not going to the dentist, it leads to you know, your teeth looking bad. It leads to you not wanting to speak in public or not be around people. So it really does have a lot of effects besides just the actual oral health of a person. So this purpose of this study was to assess dental anxiety in the American Indian Alaska Native population, as well as to provide valuable insight into the extent of the problem and to provide data to address the problem if it exists. So I was looking at specifically what the level of dental anxiety in the American Indian Alaska Native population was and what aspects of the dental visit actually produced the highest level of anxiety. So this was a descriptive exploratory research. I used a convenient non-random sampling technique. It was an online survey that was distributed through SurveyMonkey, and those links were distributed through various Facebook groups from Urban Indian Clinics as well as a few tribal health organizations as well. In order to participate in the study, individuals did need to identify as American Indian and Alaska Native. They could actually complete the survey if they weren't. I did add race categories in there and then excluded them later. Even though the study was very clear about what I was looking at, there were quite a few individuals who were not American Indian Alaska Native who did decide to take the survey anyway. So that's why I did allow them to at least choose and then I excluded them later. People don't pay attention to direction sometimes. All the individuals did have to be over the age of 18. Obviously, they had to be able to read in English and had to have access to a computer. So the first survey instrument that I used was CORA's Dental Anxiety Scale, the revised version that was created in 2005. But this scale actually was created in 1969. Dental anxiety has been an issue that has been studied worldwide. We all know we have a lot of problems with dental anxiety. Most of the times when I do this presentation, 3/4 of the room that I'm talking to raise their hand and say, I have dental anxiety too. So it's not an uncommon problem. It's not a problem that's unique to this population. But it is something that has not really been studied in the American Indian Alaska Native population. There are a few studies that have very small pockets of American Indian Alaska Natives that were included, but nobody has looked at this population specifically. So as far as this first survey instrument, it's a basic four-question summative scale to score an individual's anxiety level as moderate, high, and severe. This is a survey that is not only used in research, but a lot of dental practices use this survey to assess their clients before they're coming in and to assess whether there's anything they need to do about the anxiety level. So I included some of the examples of two of the questions here. The first one is, if you had to go to the dentist tomorrow for a checkup, how would you feel about it? I would look forward to it as a reasonably enjoyable experience. That's me, but I don't know, I'm kind of weird about that. I wouldn't care one way or another. I'd be a little uneasy about it. I would be afraid that it would be unpleasant and painful, or I'd be very frightened of what the dentist would do. So you're going to show the wide scale of the anxiety level with each of these questions. So this question is looking at before you even go to the dentist. How do you feel? The next question is, imagine you're in the dentist chair to have your teeth cleaned while you're waiting, and the dentist or the hygienist is getting out the instruments, which will be used to scrape your teeth around the gum. How do you feel? So this question is really getting at that actual experience of being in the chair and those scary instruments and the sounds and the noises and the smells and everything that's going to happen. One is relaxed, a little uneasy, tense, anxious, and so anxious that I sometimes break out in a sweat or almost feel physically sick. So in addition to assessing the anxiety level, I actually used the dental concerns assessment, which actually came out of Oregon Health Sciences University in 1998. So again, a survey tool that's been around for a very long time. And they go through 26 specific dental procedures and experiences ranked by their anxiety level. So these include everything from smells and sounds, how the doctor treats you, and different fears that you might have. I also looked at dental access, so whether or not they had a particular dentist or clinic that they usually went to. If they had a dental problem and avoided care. And then also, what was their main reason for not visiting the dentist? And then I also collected demographic questions, age, race, education, and income. So I won't go into the data analysis too much. But good stuff, the results. So I had a total of 228 total participants. 88.2% were American Indian Alaska Native. So again, that's what that was advertised for, but I had a significant number of people that chose to take the survey anyway, so that's okay. 78% of them had actually completed some college or a four-year degree. My results were very skewed towards individuals who had high levels of education. 44.4% also had household income of more than $50,000. So again, a pretty high income level that came out of this. 45.2% were between the ages of 25 and 44. So almost 80% of people said that they did have a usual source of dental care. So access was not necessarily an issue with this group. 44% did say that they had a dental problem where they would have liked to see the dentist but didn't. So again, we're talking about a group of people who are highly educated, pretty high income, and have access to dental care, and are still not going to the dentist. The main reason for not visiting the dentist, of course, fear, apprehension, nervousness, pain, and dislike going, and there was some cost in there as well. So as far as the dental anxiety prevalence, 61.8% of the participants experienced some form of dental anxiety. The mean anxiety level of participants was about 10.88, so it's right there in the kind of moderate anxiety level. But as far as people who had severe anxiety, there were 50 individuals who had scored as severe anxiety, so about 25% of the people that I studied were either moderate anxiety or severe anxiety. So again, we have a very big issue with the anxiety level, no matter what the income level or anything like that is. Not really surprising, but the top concerns were not being numb enough, extractions, root canals, and injections, everything associated with pain. Again, not a huge concern or huge surprise. The least concerned were x-rays, smells, not being listened to or taken seriously, and not feeling free to ask questions. There were a couple of procedures that really had high rates of unknown anxiety, root canals and rubber dam. I'm hoping that's because people really didn't know what those were. That's a good thing if they don't know what a root canal is, because they probably didn't have one. So as far as I was mentioned, the mean anxiety score was 10.88, and this was much higher than other studies of other populations and other age groups. The top concerns, again, were procedures that were associated with pain. There were definitely issues with cultural competency, which any of us that are working in Indian Health Services know that there's a huge issue with providers coming in and out and coming from different places without that background on how to work with the Native population. And that goes to the recruitment and retention of the dental providers. The big thing here that, you know, I was looking at is that, you know, dental anxiety really does create a vicious cycle. If you're afraid of going to the dentist, you're going to avoid going to the dentist until you have to. When you go because you have to, you're probably going to have some pretty painful procedures from those complications, which is going to cause more fear, and you're not going to go to the dentist again to get all those preventive issues. So it's a really big issue in addressing that dental anxiety. So there were obviously some study limitations, the sampling technique being and only an online survey and only looking at certain populations. Also in that, because of the sample characteristics, you know, being highly skewed towards higher income and higher education levels, wasn't able to get that well-rounded demographic background for this study. So as far as recommendations, to do a larger scale survey in order to improve the generalizability of this study. Also, working with dental offices, especially in tribal settings and urban settings, to screen for dental anxiety in their patients. So this is something now that I'm working with some of the tribes in Michigan to implement these surveys in their clinics, but also to their general tribal members who are not coming into the clinic, to start looking at these anxiety rates in their community and start coming up with action plans to reduce that anxiety. There are a lot of different treatment options once a person is diagnosed with dental anxiety. You can drive down almost any freeway now and see billboards for painless dentistry and all of these things that people are working on, whether that be changing the environment in the dental office, playing music, having TV for people to watch, and even also looking at medicating people before they have to go into the dentist. So partnering with, you know, the behavioral health department to start doing some of these assessments as well, and giving coping techniques, or again, the possibility of prescribing medication to make sure that we get people in for preventative care and reduce that pain and encourage them to keep going back before they have significant problems. So in conclusion, this study did find that there was higher dental anxiety levels than in other populations that have been previously studied. Procedures that cause pain increase anxiety. Avoidance leads to complications, creating a vicious cycle. Further research is needed, a more large-scale approach, so I'm looking for that as an opportunity in the future. All dental patients should be assessed. Again, that's a four-question, really basic screening tool that can be handed to people when they're at patient registration or checking in for their visits. And that we do need to start looking at treatment options that are available. And we'll take questions later. Thank you.